I'm a curious type of person. I'll think of something and then say to myself, "Self, where'd that come from?" Like, did God laugh? My uncle lived in Sayre, and when I was a kid, he'd always say to me, "Do you know Boo?" And I'd say, "Boo who?" And he'd say, "What are you crying about?" You know, he was a jokester. He picked on me quite a bit with that stuff. He called me James Aloysius, whatever. But his favorite scripture verse was from Proverbs 17, verse 22. "A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So I kind of researched a little bit on, did God laugh? Back in the early part of this year, I came upon this question, what makes God laugh? And you know, it's something I never thought much about, if at all, that God, did God laugh? Did you know that God laughed? Did you ever think about it? Is there any humor in the Bible? Does God laugh with us or at us? In Psalm 2 we read, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs." In Psalm 37, "But the Lord laughs." In Psalm 59 we read, "But you, O Lord, laugh." Proverbs 1, "In turn I will laugh." So what do you think this laughter is all about? There is some humorous play on words taken from Scripture. For example, did you know that the disciples had a vehicle? They had a Honda. We've heard that the disciples were all in one accord. There's also some humor taken from some old favorite hymns, such as a story concerning a young lad who comes home from Sunday school, and his mother asks him what he had learned that morning. He told her he learned all about somebody named Andy. Of course, she didn't understand and questioned him as who this Andy was. He replied that they sang a song about Andy walked with me, Andy talked with me, and he sang, and so forth. So there is cute humor made from real serious stuff, not intended to hurt, but to be kind of cute and clever. Of course, you may wonder who lays awake nights thinking of these things. I read about this fellow who was washing his car one evening as the sun was preparing to kiss the earth goodnight. Glancing up, he impulsively squirted a hose at it as if to extinguish the flames. And the whole absurdity of his actions hit him on the head and he laughed. As I alluded earlier in Psalm 2, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. Let me now put that into context. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say. Throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. God's laughter is never in joy, never during worship, never in mirth, never to be amused, but only to ridicule. God is angry and infuriated at people following vain pursuits. He goes on to foretell of the coming of his holy begotten Son and promises his true followers a great inheritance. None of the true followers are laughing at this time, but worshiping with reverence, seeking reference in him, refuge in him. Wicked nations were plotting to overthrow God's anointed, this ultimately opposing the Almighty himself. But he sits in heaven, in the heavens, calm and unthreatened. Man's boldest efforts to oppose such awesome power are ludicrous. The Almighty doesn't even rise from his throne. He just laughs in ridicule and scorn, as if to say, who do you think you're kidding? It's mind-boggling to me what people think they can get away with. It's like the garage mechanic in a former Framoil filter commercial. You can pay me now or pay me later. Do you think God's laugh is a heartless or cruel laugh? Not at all. His same infinite greatness that mocks man's defiance also marks his sympathy for a man in his lost condition. In Psalm 59, which is a prayer for deliverance from David's enemies when Saul was set to get rid of him, as I read earlier, but you, O Lord, laugh. Let me put this into context. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, O Lord. I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. O Lord God Almighty, the Lord of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They return at evening snarling like dogs and prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths. They spew their swords from their lips and they say, who can hear us? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all these nations. Earlier in Proverbs 1, I read, I in turn will laugh. Let me put this into context. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of this noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and the fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one have heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Truly none of us would want to be the object of God's laughter in this instance. But are you surprised? It is a fearful thing to be the object of God's laughter or take his laughter out of context. So it seems that the answer to does God laugh with us or against us is your choice. There were good times and bad times. As written in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. But there is no actual humor in the Bible. There never intended to be any, but God did laugh, and so did others, but that is for another time. God's laughter gives us the assurance that Christ will ultimately triumph over evil. Any defiance of him and his will be useless, unsuccessful. Instead of opposing the Son, we should submit to the Lord Jesus and take refuge in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, words that we can trust and put our faith in. Thank you for helping me bring this morning's message to our congregation. Keep us safe and healthy until we meet again. We ask this in your Son's name with thanksgiving. Amen.